Welcome to the iBuy IMD podcast, where IMD faculty meets global experts to bring you the latest on the evolving world of management and business. And here's your host of today's episode, Professor of Strategy and Marketing at IMD, Gautam Chalagala. Enjoy.
Hello, I'm Gautam Chalagala, and I'm joined today by Matthias Altendorf, who is president or chairman of the supervisory board at Andreessen Hauser Group. Andreessen Hauser is a Swiss-based global company, and it's a family-owned company. Andreessen Hauser is in the process control and process instruments business. They do laboratory instrumentation. They do a lot of automation. You find their products everywhere in utilities and so on. With decades of experience, a pioneering mindset, and a strong spirit of innovation, they deliver high-quality solutions worldwide. Our life wouldn't be the same without them, to be honest. Matthias was the first non-family CEO to lead the business in 2014. After an extremely successful stint at CEO, he then stepped into his current role as the chairman of the supervisory board in 2024. Matthias, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Gautam, for having me. I'm more than happy to contribute.
Matthias, Andreessen Hauser has a vision to shape a sustainable world in which you care both about environment as well as social responsibility, and that these are in harmony with economic success, which Andreessen Hauser has done spectacularly well during your tenure and post that. We started this conversation a while ago, and a lot of my research has evolved with this intersection of sustainability and economic success. From your perspective, how do these come together? And how do you consider them in your own decision-making as the chair of the supervisory board?
I think we have three elements which always guide us in this principle. First, when you are in a measurement and control company, you help your clients anyhow to reduce the amount of waste, to reduce the amount of energy, to have better quality outputs of their products, to be more precise. And overall, this helps our clients and customers to become better in what they are doing in the manufacturing process. From there, we need the innovation in order to help our customers. And what we do is to help our customers to be more sustainable, either in the processes, in their manufacturers, or in the logistics they have. The second element is if you sell those type of products and service to your clients, you also have to do it on your own and look for new innovations in your own setup as a manufacturing company to be very efficient, smart, energy conservation and carbon footprint reduction. So we drive that too. And then there's a third element, which is a social element. Our employees want to work in a future-oriented company on one hand side. And our aspiration and our inspiration is how can we make better products which lose much less resources? And we figured out if we use this for our client, this drives a lot of innovation. And the side effect at the end of the day is also that we reduce our carbon footprint, less emission, less material. And overall, this is beneficial for the customers through a better product, through a better value, or through a better service. And this is how we see it. And so far in the last, 25 years, this has worked quite well for us.
I love your answer, Matthias. It's very comprehensive. You started with the customers. You talked about your internal operations. And the common theme was look at the processes, look at the waste, look at energy. It's such a simple thing. And then you also focused on the employees. Thank you for that. If we look at the construction of the Energy Autonomous and CO2 Neutral Training Center in Canada, you know, what was the long-term ambition for this, both economically, environmentally? You know, what got it started?
You know, we said, okay, whenever we make a new construction, new building, which is a large portion of our carbon footprint at the end of the day, when we make a construction, then we said, is it possible with modern technology to make a carbon neutral building in Canada where energy from fossil energy or power is almost nothing compared to Europe or Switzerland. And then we figured out, we tried a lot of things out, and then we figured out maybe the building cost us 10% more if we do this in a very sustainable fashion versus we don't do it. And then we looked then on the books and said, okay, over a period of 30 years, this 10%, you know, is not too much. And we believe if we can prove this to our customers, new innovation come out of it, new emotions which drive this and passionates this at the end of the day. And this is how we did it. And this is how we drive it from an ownership point of view and from a supervisory board of view. What is good on the long run? And we have the great comfort to be a family-owned business, which doesn't look for the quarter, which looks for the years and the generations to come. And out of this, we drive those decisions.
Again, some very important points here, Matthias. 10% more, but a 30-year horizon. And also, I think hidden or embedded in your answer is, if you don't start, you will never get economies of scale, right? So it's only going to get better over time. So thank you again for that. Do you at Andreessen Hauser sort of look at sustainability investments separately and do ROI, or is it part of like an overall value proposition when you look at it?
It's an overall value proposition, you know, because I believe if you start to separate one from the other, you will never get the synergies in the innovations you are looking for to be on the long run successful. So when we look, for example, a new product, we think about, okay, how can we reduce the amount of logistics? How can we reduce the amount of parts? How can we reduce the amount of processes we need? Or how can we reduce the amount of transportations? So we look at it in a very holistic way, and then we say, okay, we might want to cut down 25% in cost, but we also want to cut down 30% maybe in carbon footprint. And this always goes together. And if you separate, you have to preference one or the other, but you still have to remain commercially successful. You're in a market where you have to compete. And if you separate, you forget one or the other. And if you keep it together, you're looking for the optimum, what you can achieve to remain competitive.
And I think that's such an important point, Matthias, because many companies can fall into the trap of just looking at, you know, ROI on an individual investment, but lose sight of the bigger picture, the bigger value for the customer. Moving on to the next question, your bioscience products had a very dominant presence in every plant manufacturing the COVID-19 vaccine. And that must have been a great deal of foresight or agility to sort of, you know, make sure that you could meet the world's needs. What has happened to that since then? Is that sort of scaled up and has that, you know, made Andreessen Hauser more competitive?
Well, the story is a little bit longer, Gautam. It started in the financial crisis 2009, I have to be honest. At that time, we looked at the market and said, where do we have to invest more to make sure we also in a crisis situation, we can continue to grow and engage in the market and increase our market share. And in our analytics at that time, we found out the pharmaceutical biotechnology market is one thing we should target for, and we should develop products for this. And then this was a long journey to get accepted. And when the moment of the COVID came, you know, we were the ones who could deliver. We were the ones that had the products, and we were the ones who could keep manufacturing even in COVID time running. We were the one who had everything in shape. The foresight was also that our supply chain was intact, very good. Our employees helped us, and this has helped us to overcome that at the moment of truth when everybody needed this product in a short period of time, very fast. And it's a great accomplishment of our team, but it also was a close collaboration with all our customers who worked on that.
Nice. So this was actually a much more forward-thinking, long-term bet based on a crisis. And that actually seems like the world is in a continuous state of crisis. So that kind of thinking, I think, has probably helped you all stay on the right course. And I can't recall, Matthias, whether it was you or somebody from your company who said that humans are subject to biological conditions, but companies are different, right? You don't have the age limitation that all of us have. But of course, if you're not careful, even companies, you know, can go down. How do you think at Andreessen Hauser about these generational transitions and hiring of not just family, but non-family leaders, particularly because you were the first non-family CEO? So how do you, you know, look at things like long-term And here I'm saying sustainability, not from the environment or social perspective, but just the long-term survival and sustainability and success of your family business. Are there some thumb rules that you say we always need to do these things?
Well, you know, from a family perspective, and this is in, I would say, in our DNA, we say we want to remain an independent family business. And this is the main sentence for the CEO, for the president. What do you have to do that you remain independent family-owned business? And that is you have to strive for longevity of a company. And the longevity of the company has a few elements. One is you keep a culture, which is resistance in crisis, that you don't have to pivot in the moment of crisis, that this collaboration of the people remains intact and the value and the purpose remains intact. The second thing in family sync in generation, so our long-term perspective is more than just a quarter. And this is also the nature of our business. Breakthrough innovations in our industry comes every 10 years. You need 3 product life cycles to remain global market leadership. And when you think in those cycles, you have to do a few elements which you have on the long run there. At the same time, I pretty much follow Andy Grove's philosophy, only the paranoid survives. Tomorrow you can do better. What is on the horizon which could put our business at risk? And you continuously search with the radar screen what could be a danger for you, or where do you have to become better to stay in the business and to gain your goal of longevity overall. So it's a mixture of long-term thinking, but continuously to try to improve what you are doing, and at the same time, monitor a little bit paranoia, what could be a threat for your business.
I just want to ask maybe a couple more questions, more about boards and sustainability. You know, how do you, as the chairman of the board, bring the rest of the board along in your thinking around sustainability, which I find both very crisp and refreshing, and make sure that the management is also, you know, on that same track? I mean, what do you see as your role here, you know, when it comes to sustainability?
I mean, first of all, you know, in a family business, you have to make sure your ownership stays on the same page like you are. They want this, they believe in this. And then this is a fundamental frame you as a supervisory board as well as your executive team tries to follow. And then you try to encourage. You encourage your management team. You have to find the right people who believe on this path and believe on this long-term thinking without losing sight of operational excellence and trying to make the numbers. But this is a dialogue. It's a continuous dialogue, and it's not one thing fits all. It's always a little bit situational because you might have to do in India things different than in the United States. But for me, it's important, is the spirit there? Is this spirit for try to become better on the sustainable in your DNA? And you widen the scope. It's not just the product. It's not just the car. It's not just the solar. It's the overall holistic view of the company that you want to become better in what you're doing. And if you remain competitive, it's a long-term competitive advantage, in my opinion. And that's what we're striving for.
Very well answered, Matthias. The long-term competitive advantage is a good one. Do you see, because there are geographic differences today, I think most people would agree that if it drives long-term competitive advantage, we should do it. But not everybody has that lens. Do you, like at Andreessen Hauser, encounter these geographic differences? And are you able to sort of, you know, bring your various geographies onto the same page? Or is it, you know, how are you dealing with that?
I think it has a little bit, at the end of the day, not so much to do with the mindset, because all cultures around the world, all countries want to be more sustainable if they can afford it. And we have to be very careful that we say, okay, we specifically in Switzerland and Germany, that we want to be very sustainable, but maybe countries in the global south have a different priority. However, all of them like to be more sustainable. And we then really mirror that with the technological capabilities, with the infrastructure capabilities, and we do it appropriate to the country and appropriate to the means we can put in place in those local things. So the overall theme is the same, but the practicality in the implementation is adjusted to the country-specific maturity.
And that makes so much sense in today's world. There is never a one-size-fits-all. I think people buy, like you said, who's going to resist the idea of doing better? Right, as long as it is affordable and doesn't make you uncompetitive, well, you have to bring the geographies at a different pace. One final question, and I bring this up because something you said in one of our private conversations really resonated with me. And this is about your thinking around diversity. I think you picked it up from another professor, but just how do you ensure sort of this diversity of expertise? How do you think about this topic? Because even something like diversity has become controversial today. How do you think about diversity?
Well, why diversity is very important for companies? Because diversity is the one which helps you to protect you for the unknown future. As more diverse your DNA is, as better you can deal with the future. And that comes basically out of our biology the same. We have a variety of our DNA because we do not know in which area of tomorrow we are living, and therefore we have to be capable to adapt. And when you have a very diverse team, and diversity for me means cultural background, religious background, educational background, gender background, age background, and so on. As more diverse you are, as better you're prepared for the unknown future, but as more difficult it is to manage and to lead such thing. And it's a question of leadership to deal with very diverse people. Of course, when you have a soccer team, diversity doesn't help if you have a basketball player, handball player, or a cricket player in your team. You always have to have a football player or a soccer player. But in a company with Andersen Hauser, more than 18,000 employees, the diversity is a very fruitful source of dealing with the unknown future.
I love it, right? It helps you discover the unknown. But I also like the fact that you brought up the soccer team because that brings clarity, right? There's different types of diversity, and in some cases you need it and other cases you don't really need that same type of diversity. Matthias, thank you so much for joining us and giving this, you know, short but insightful interview into how you think about sustainability. And, you know, as chairman of the board, it's so important. Thank you again, Matthias, for your participation.
Thank you very much, Gautam, for having me. And I wish all the listeners a lot of joy by listening to our conversation. Thank you very much.
If you enjoyed this conversation, subscribe to iBuyIMD on your favorite podcast platform. iBuyIMD is brought to you by the Institute for Management Development. Find out more at imd.org. See you next week.